Today, we'll talk about pre-park opening breakfast reservations. That's coming up on this episode 102 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 102. We are going to talk today about pre-park opening breakfast reservations, something that I was asked about at least 27 times this week, which is always a sign that it will make a good podcast topic. So we'll dive into some of the details of that today. As always, just a reminder to connect on social media because I'm very busy there. In between podcasts, I am on the Facebook page multiple times per day. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. And when I'm in the parks, I'll be on Periscope and Snapchat. So follow me. I'm at WDW Prep School on all of those platforms. I look forward to talking to you. And I will, of course, have news and a quick tip of the day at the end. But let's go ahead and start talking about this topic today. So first of all, pre-park opening breakfast reservations means that you are going into the parks before they are officially open and you get to eat before the attractions are open so that you're not interfering with your touring time, which is perfect because otherwise for me, I don't like breakfast reservations that interfere with touring time because the first part of the day is ideal. It also could mean that you take some photos in the parks without people there and things like that. So there's some good reasons why people would want to be in the parks for breakfast reservations. Let's talk about some basics and then I'll get into this on a park by park basis. So, first of all, the earliest reservation, no matter what time the park opens, is going to be at 8 o'clock. So you might say, well, Magic Kingdom is opening at 8 o'clock when I'm there. So won't it open earlier? Answer is no. The pre-park opening reservations begin at 8 almost always. I don't know that there are very many exceptions to that rule. That's the first thing. Second thing is that people often are concerned about the transportation to get there. So if you're staying at a Disney World resort, or even if you're off-site, and for instance, if you are going to Magic Kingdom and driving your own car, you still have to rely on Disney transportation to take you from the parking lot over to Magic Kingdom. People really stress out about this. And Disney is at fault for this for the most part because they often tell people that transportation begins an hour before the park opens or something like that. But that's not really true. The truth is that Magic Kingdom buses begin operating at around 6:30 a.m. and the other parks have buses that begin around 7 or 7:15. So if you have dining reservations made, Disney will figure out a way to get you there with their transportation. That's not necessarily true of other things that you could book, like special tours and things like that. Some of those you do have to find your way there. But for dining reservations, if you can make the reservation, Disney will provide a way to get there. If you are on the monorail or you have to use the monorail because you've parked at Magic Kingdom and need to get over to Magic Kingdom, the resort monorail usually begins at 7 a.m. So if you are unfamiliar with the monorail system, there's an express monorail that literally just goes from the Ticket and Transportation Center, which is where you would go after parking, over to Magic Kingdom, and it skips the resorts. That's why it's called an express, because it's only two stops. That one does not begin operating as early, so you would want to go to the Ticket and Transportation Center and get on the resort monorail to take over there. Now, there are some monorail schedule changes that sometimes make this not possible. But if they do that, they will find another way to get you there, usually by bus. And the same is true if you're staying at a monorail resort, they will find another way if the monorail isn't operating to get you there. Now, cast members, when it comes to this, cast members can be harmful and helpful. I have had people tell me, I am staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge and I have an early reservation at Animal Kingdom and the cast members told me there will be no buses to take me there. I've booked a taxi to do it. I'm going to be really upset if that's not true. And the truth is, you should be upset because there will be buses to come and get you. You may still want to book a taxi or an Uber to take you to save yourself some time because, you know, if you can snooze 15 more minutes and have your own car take you directly there, that may save you some time because there's always a wait factor when you're using Disney transportation because you don't know when they're going to show up. But if you don't want to do that, there will be Disney transportation to get you there. You don't have to worry about that. Once you arrive at the parks, you're going to be there before they open, so people are going to not be going in except for the people that have reservations. And every park has a special line for early reservations. And for instance, at Magic Kingdom, as you're facing the park, you can normally go in on the left or the right. And for breakfast reservations, there will be signs that say enter on the left and you sort of get your own lane. And as you go through there, they will ask you your name and check it on their list to verify that you have a reservation and then they'll let you in. This happens at every park. There will be a special turnstile, a special area that you can go through for your early reservation. That question has been asked 27 times this week for some reason. It's never been a thing, but this week it was a trend. So anyway, don't worry about that. You just follow the signs and you'll get right in. So those are sort of like basics about pre-park breakfast reservation. So let's talk about this on a park-by-park basis. First of all, Magic Kingdom. Now, Magic Kingdom is one of two parks that often has its opening time change. So when the park hours come out initially around 6.5 months ahead of time, they will usually say that Magic Kingdom is going to open at 9. But as the dates get closer and Disney revises the park hours, they often do change Magic Kingdom hours to start at 8 or so. Depending. If they think it's going to be a little busier than originally anticipated, they'll do that to allow the park to be open for a longer period of time. But that's a problem if you had an 8 a.m. breakfast reservation. So I just want you to be aware of that. And it's for that reason that I recommend if you want to eat at one of the three restaurants that I'm about ready to list off, that you make two reservations. One close to 8 and one later, like 10:30 or something like that. Because as you get closer to the dates and the hours get more finalized, then you can know which one you want and you can cancel the one that you don't want. Now the three options, and by the way, at Magic Kingdom, there are PhotoPass photographers out before the park opens. According to readers, they have told me recently that they have been seeing PhotoPass photographers in the park. So if you want a picture in front of the castle or on Main Street or whatever, they are often there or always there to take pictures. So just an FYI. Okay, so the three options you have at Magic Kingdom before park opening is Crystal Palace, which is with Winnie the Pooh and friends, Be Our Guest Breakfast, and which does not have any characters for breakfast, and Cinderella's Royal Table, which is in the castle and has Cinderella and other princesses. So those are your three options, and those are the two table service restaurants, Crystal Palace and Cinderella's Royal Table, are going to take some time. I always recommend for character meals that you allow 60 to 90 minutes because it can take some time for you to get checked in because they're usually very popular. And it also takes time for all of the characters to come around to the table. However, Be Our Guest Breakfast is much quicker, particularly if you order online, which they allow up to 30 days ahead of time. And you could be in and out in 30 minutes easily, which could put you in prime position to stand in the vicinity of Seven Dwarfs Mine Train on an Elsa or whatever else that you're interested in. So you could actually be near those attractions before the rest of the people at the front of the park. So there's a lot of good reasons why you might consider an early reservation. So that is Magic Kingdom. So let's talk about Epcot. Epcot has two pre-park opening options. One is Akershus, which is in the Norway section and is princesses. And the other is Garden Grill, which begins on November 8th. And that has more of the classic Disney characters. And that one is brand new. And so we don't know a whole lot about it yet, but I think it's going to be a popular offering. And so Garden Grill is in the same building as Soarin', whereas Akershus is in the like entrance to the World Showcase. And they are both great values on the Disney Dining Plan if you happen to be using credits to pay for your meals. And if you If you happen to dine at Akershus and happen to get out at a decent time, like before park opening, you're in a pretty good spot to walk over to Test Track. You know, at park opening, usually it's Test Track or Soarin' because those are the two most popular. You'll be in a good position to go to Test Track. When the new ride that is going to be coming to Norway opens next year, you'll be right there in Norway. And so that'll be a prime spot to visit that attraction or that ride right after breakfast. Garden Grill, being in the same building as Soarin', puts you in a prime spot to then go on Soarin' right after you have breakfast. So, but that's only if you actually finish your meal by the time the park opens. One question that often comes up is that people say they're staying at a boardwalk area resort, and which means they enter through the back of Epcot through the International Gateway, which is between the UK pavilion and the France pavilion. It's a special pathway. And so people are concerned because they say, if I'm going in there and the World Showcase doesn't open until 11, how do I get in? And the truth is that it is open. They allow people to walk through. There's only the back part of the World Showcase is actually closed. The front part, like where Norway is on one side of the World Showcase and where Canada, UK are on this side, and actually France is open as well. Those are open to allow people to walk through, but the back part that's between France and Norway, that part will be closed until 11 o'clock. So no issues there if you happen to be coming through the International Gateway. Hollywood Studios is the other park whose park hours often change. So this is another one that might say a 9 a.m. opening and then suddenly it gets changed to 8 a.m. There is one breakfast option here, and that is at Hollywood and Vine, and they have Disney Junior characters. So it tends to appeal to people with young children because this is a great spot to get to interact with those characters. But once again, I'm going to give the same advice I did for Magic Kingdom, which is that you might want to make two reservations, one at 8 a.m., and hopefully that'll be a pre-park opening time, and the other for later in the day. For this one, I actually might recommend that you book lunch, because lunch, if you book the Fantasmic package, will allow you to not only eat and have the Disney Junior characters, but then you also can get VIP vouchers for Fantasmic. So you might want to book breakfast and lunch and then cancel the one later that is the least appealing to you when you know your schedule. If you are interested in Jedi Training Academy, having breakfast here and finishing up at before the park opens and heading over to that sign up area can be a huge benefit, because that is a very popular thing to do. But when you do that, make sure that you have your child with you who's interested in that experience, because you can't just have, like, you know, mom, dad, and two kids, and then dad runs out to jump in line. You have to have the child with you who wants to do Jedi Training Academy. So, but that can put you in a prime spot to sign up, because those spots disappear very quickly. And finally, we have Animal Kingdom, which has Tusker House. Tusker House is delicious food, and they offer all three meals of the day. Characters are at all the meals, but you might want to go in for a pre-park opening breakfast at 8 a.m. And if you do happen to finish up there, then you are in a prime spot to get on safari, because it is very close by. So all of these restaurants sort of have a second motive. Like, it's great to be there and have the food and interact with the characters. Most of them have characters. But the other motive might be to put yourself in a prime position to enjoy an attraction right away. And at Animal Kingdom, that happens to be Kilimanjaro Safaris, which is located very close by. So I hope that is helpful when it comes to pre-park opening reservations. I get so many questions about it, and I realized I hadn't actually explicitly talked about it by itself. So hopefully that was helpful. But as always, you can email or talk to me on social media, ask me questions wherever we are connected. I do want to talk about a couple of news items. The first thing is that Be Our Guest Breakfast is now open up to 180 days ahead of time. Now, we just talked about Be Our Guest being an option at Magic Kingdom. It was a test for a long time, and they were just sort of releasing the dates in batches. And for a long time, they only had through, I think, October 3rd available. And now they have released the dates all the way out, 180 days. So you can plan on booking that right at the same time that you book all your other dining reservations. So that's nice, because that's now a predictable thing. They did raise the price. It was already kind of expensive. It was already $19.99. It's a flat fee, flat rate for breakfast, and they have increased it to $21.99. You could split an entree if you want. It's a quick service, so even if you're on the dining plan, you can always split a quick service meal if you want. Or, of course, if you're paying out of pocket. And so don't feel obligated to spend, you know, $21.99 per person. You might just get two meals and split it amongst multiple people if you want. It is quite a bit of food. So anyway, that's now a reliable reservation that you might want to book. The second thing from this week is that the mini holiday dine is now a dinner that's available during the holidays at Hollywood and Vine Restaurant at Hollywood Studios. And that is available from November 7th through January 3rd, although some of those dates are sold out now. If you book it online, at least as of the time that I'm recording this, this is true, and they may fix it, I don't know. But mini holiday dine, the Fantasmic package, is available online. If you call, you can get it as a non-Fantasmic package, like just the meal. It's a few dollars cheaper to do the non-Fantasmic option, but only like $4. It's not that much different. If you do the Fantasmic package, it has a 48-hour cancellation policy. If you do the non-Fantasmic package, it's a 24-hour cancellation policy. So that's a new offering. People keep asking me, how is it? What do you think? I don't have any information because it's brand new this year. So we'll see how it goes. The third thing is that Pizzafari, which is a quick service restaurant in Animal Kingdom, is going to be closed for a pretty decently long refurbishment. And that begins August 24th and goes through October 19th. The reason is that they're adding a new table service restaurant to Animal Kingdom, and it's going to share some space with Pizzafari. So they have to close Pizzafari in order to do that work. And that is August 24th through October 19th. So I do have a quick tip of the day. That's all the news for this week. So we'll move on to the quick tip. The quick tip is something that lots of people told me about this week, and so I thought it would be helpful to pass on to you. And that is that DisneyGiftCard.com, a website I have used many times to buy gift cards, apparently has a feature that I was not aware of, but it seems really handy. And that is that you can use that website to combine Disney gift cards up to $1,000. So a lot of people will get they will accrue Disney gift cards for various reasons. And it's kind of annoying to have, you know, 20 different gift cards to pay with. But this website will allow you to combine them all into one up to $1,000. And so that way you might only have to have a couple with you for your trip. And so that could be super convenient for you. And that is DisneyGiftCard.com. Of course, I'll have that in the show notes as well. Before you wrap up, I want to talk a little bit about the companies that I choose to work with and kind of give you some of my thought process behind that. And because this is going to be a new thing that I do on podcast episodes. So whenever I recommend a company to readers or to listeners, it has to be a win-win-win in my mind. It has to be a win for you. It has to be a win for the company, and it has to be a win for me. That way it's beneficial to everybody. And that's how I judge everything. So I'll give you some examples of some things that didn't work out. So there's a company I have used many times for car service, limos, that kind of thing, over the last many years, like 8 years. I've used them many times. They offered to pay me money to advertise and to recommend their company, but I took a trip to Disney World and had very sketchy drivers and inconsistent quality cars. And so although it would have been great for them to get the exposure, you know, on another website, and great for me to have the advertising money, it wouldn't have been great for you because I don't trust their quality. That's an example. Another one is I used to recommend a park ticket company because I did a park ticket comparison chart and found that they did offer the best value and they provided good service. However, I redid the park ticket comparison when the prices went up. They no longer provided the best value for most kinds of tickets. So I stopped promoting them because it wasn't a good deal for you. Another example is that I had an Etsy shop that I think it was last holiday season, I was just showing lots of Etsy shops where you might want to buy things for the holidays. And the Etsy shop at the time provided great products and service, and then they stopped doing that for whatever reason. And I heard lots of feedback about that, and I removed them, and they are no longer listed. So those are sort of some examples of companies that don't work out. But so if I do promote a company, you know that it's somebody I genuinely recommend, and I want to start featuring those at the end of the shows here, because it's win-win-win for all of us. You know, the companies deserve the exposure. You might like to hear about companies that I genuinely recommend. And in most cases, I get a commission on some of these. And so today I want to talk about Garden Grocer, because I have used Garden Grocer for many, many, many years for my own personal trips. And the idea with Garden Grocer is that they deliver groceries to your Disney World resort. They are one way to get groceries. There are others. I have an article called 8 ways to get groceries on your Disney World trip. And Garden Grocer is one, but it happens to be my favorite one. And so I just want you to consider them if you are going to need groceries for your trip. And I will link to the whole article so you can see all of your options. And if you think that they make sense, then please feel free to go with them. And they do give me commissions based on sales of groceries. But if you decide to go with one of the other 7 options, that's okay too, because I want you to do what makes sense for you. So today's feature company is Garden Grocer, and I look forward to talking to you about other genuinely good companies that I recommend in future episodes. I think that'll wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, including all the show notes, links, and everything that I've mentioned, you can look in the podcast app that you use or go to wwwprepschool.com/episode102. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.